Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled Stay in the Boat is presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion.
Acts chapter 27. When it was decided that we would sail, now remember, we saw Paul give his testimony and he appealed to Caesar. And because he appealed to Caesar, now he had to go to Caesar. He was due to be in Rome. And so the King Agrippa, King Agrippa said, unto Rome he'll go. So, when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment, very important fella in the ranks. We boarded the Andromedan ship about to sail for ports along the coasts of Asia. And we put out to sea Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Cyrene, and Julius treated Paul with consideration, allowing him to visit his friends and receive their care. After putting out from there, we sailed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Mara in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. After sailing slowly for many days, we arrived at Cnidus. When the wind impeded us, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salamina. After we had moved along the coast with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lycia. By now, much time had passed, and the voyage had already become dangerous because it was after the fast. So Paul advised them, "Men, I can see that our voyage will be filled with disaster and great loss, not only to the ship and cargo, but to our own lives as well." But contrary to Paul's advice, the centurion was persuaded by the pilot and by the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided to sail on if somehow they could reach Phoenix to winter there. Phoenix was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along, hugging the coast of Crete. But it was not long before a cyclone called the Nor'easter swept down across the island. Unable to head into the wind, the ship was caught up. So we gave way and let ourselves be driven along, passing to the lee of a small island called Cauda. We barely managed to secure the lifeboat. After hoisting it up, the crew used ropes to undergird the ship, and fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Cnidus, they lowered the sea anchor, and were driven along. We were tossed so violently that the next day the men began to jettison the cargo. They threw it overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the great storm continued to batter us, we abandoned all hope of being saved. How many ever been there? All hope of being saved. Things were so damn bad, you gave up hope. Think about that. You ever been in that kind of place? You ever been in that kind of a situation where things were so dang bad that you didn't know? I mean, you just gave it, Lord, I guess this is where I'm going to die. They gave up hope. They abandoned all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have followed my advice not to sail to Crete. Then disaster and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because you will not experience any loss of life, but only of the ship. For just last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. An angel of God stood beside him? Wait. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul, for you must stand before Caesar. And look, God has granted you the lives of all who sail with you. So take courage, men, for I believe that God, that it will happen just as he told me. However, we must run aground on some island." On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 20 fathoms deep. Going a little farther, they took another set of soundings that read 15 fathoms deep. Fearing that we would run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daybreak. These guys were afraid. Look at me. These guys were qualified sailors. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Everybody. Look at me. Is everybody looking at me? Everybody's looking. Listen to me. These were qualified men. These were tried and tested sailors. And here they are in a storm that is they've been there for days and days and days. It's dark, it's raining, it's windy, they're getting blown around all over the place. And now the ship is gone, you know, tossed back and forth. The sailors attempted to escape from the ship, pretending to lower anchors. Wait, is that where I am? Verse 29, fearing that they would run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daybreak. So these guys who were so afraid suddenly became prayer warriors. I mean, sometimes it takes that kind of a situation. We get into a situation that makes us pray. You know, I pray to God, if that's what it takes to make us pray, then he'd put us in a place of great dread all the time. If that's what it takes to get us to pray. He said, men ought always to pray and faint not. Meanwhile, the sailors attempted to escape from the ship, pretending to lower anchors from the bow. They let the lifeboat down into the sea. But Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men remain in the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and set it adrift. Here they sailed at sea. The title of my message, Between Two Seas, Between Two Opinions. And that we are to stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. Stay in the boat. I think the most important message that we could share is getting in that place with God where we need to be and stay in the boat. Life is going to toss you and throw you back and forth, left and right. And remember, when they were going through the sea and the water caught a hold of them, they were strung between two different seas. The Mediterranean and the Adriatic Sea, right there. They were tossed in the middle of that. And they were going along. I don't think that was just a mistake. God knew where he was putting them. See, remember, God planned this trip. God planned this trip for Paul. And yet, the storm came. Perhaps God planned your storm. But God wouldn't put me through that. God will see you through that. See, Paul, in going through this mess, he warned them ahead of time, listen, this is going to be bad. If you go, they said, never mind you, Paul. And now, the centurion and the soldiers are listening to Paul when he said, listen, if anybody leaves the boat, they're going to die. So he had the soldiers cut the lifeboats off the boat. No way out for them. They're in the boat. They had to stay in the boat. If they were going to be saved, they had to stay in the boat. And we'll find what happened later on in this chapter, but I wanted to end here and talk about this. What was going on in the midst of this is the storms of life will come at you. And they'll trouble you. And you'll wonder, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this? I can't do this. I can't afford this. I can't get through this. I don't know how I'm going to, I can't even get up. My body is racked with pain. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't do this and I can't do that. Who's going to come and help me? I will look unto the Lord. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, Paul knew the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He walked out his faith every day. He lived it amongst men, just as Elijah did when he called on the prophets of Baal to come down. And called on the people to come and told them to choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Don't put Baal in your life. Any Baal. Don't let finances, don't let things, don't let people, don't let anything come between you and your God. Serve him and him alone. You see, when we serve him, when we walk with him, when we listen to his voice, you say, how can I can't hear you. You listen by your spirit. You're first a spirit man. You've been born again of the spirit of the living God. It's that which is in us that makes us new again, that gives us right standing with God. And unless we walk in that faith every day, you know, we're not going to be prepared when the storm comes. You've got to be praying. You've got to be reading. You've got to be about God's business. And that doesn't mean that I earn God's favor. God grants me his favor at his will, not mine. You see, all that I have is a gift from him. All that I earn is a gift from him. He gave me the strength to do it. He gave me the eyesight to do it. He gave me what I have need of to get what I need. And when I can't, I can trust his hand. How many times I've been left with something and didn't know how to pay it. And the Lord brings somebody along and says, here, pay that bill. That's happened for me. When I didn't think it. I thought I was done. And God brought someone along the way. And boom, there was that bill paid. Because God is faithful. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. You can count on that. You can know that with an assurance in your heart. And so I ask you, one and all, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. Baal is not God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Serve him with all that is in you. Give unto God. And I always say, and I stress, you know, our giving, our tithes, our offerings. But more than that, God is looking for your heart. God does not care about your money. He doesn't need your money. God's not broke. Always remember that. When you give to God, when you give your tithe, your offering, you're giving to someone who owns it all. The gold is his. The silver is his. It doesn't belong to, you know, this one or that. It belongs to who God wants to give it to. And would we trust God and believe God for those riches? It says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And ought we to trust God to bring those riches into our hands and believe God? That God is enough. You see, I'd rather have 2 cents in my pocket trusting God than 20 million and doing my own thing. I'd much, because the widow with 2 mites, she gave two mites. That was like less than 2 pennies. But she gave her 2 mites. And what did the Lord say of her? She gave more than everybody else in that place. She gave more in the eyes of God. And yet she gave the least. But she gave the most in the eyes of God. Because she gave all of her substance to the Lord. She knew who she was trusting. She knew who she was trusting. So it's up to us to trust God, to believe God, to look unto God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Like Elijah. Like Paul here. Like Job. And realizing who God is what is most important for each of us to understand and to take a hold of and to trust His hand in our lives. Though the storms fierce assail us, I will not be moved. I will trust, I will rest, I will hope yet in the Lord. And there's got to come a time in our lives where we just simply, you know, if that place comes for you, just simply surrender. Lord, I surrender to You. I give up. You are Lord. You are God. See me through. Man, would to God in my storm that the angel of the Lord would show up and tell me, hey, you got to go to Rome. Don't worry about it. Because Paul had a destiny. He had a destiny. You have a destiny with the Lord. You, young man, have a destiny with the Lord. God's plan will happen as you trust His hand to keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, that concludes our message for today. And I hope that you'll take it to heart. That you'll pray, that you'll earnestly seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I know I get loud up here because I love the echo in here. But that's irrelevant. It's what we're doing before the Lord. It's what we're doing to live, to trust, to hope, to rest in Him. It's what we're doing to show others the love of Christ, who loved me so much and saved me from myself and my sin. Oh, what a joy we can know is walking in Him, with Him. Though the storms of life assail us, we'll not be moved. We will trust, we will rest, we will hope, yet in the Lord. Can you say amen? If you've been blessed by today's word, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've been blessed, and I can't tell you, as I've looked at this and I've studied it out and shared, you know, I just am amazed, you know, how in control our Heavenly Father is. He's in control. The storms of the sea may blow you around and, you know, and you wonder, what's going on? What's going on? You know, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. You know, and you think of some of the tragedies that are happening in this country that you see around and you wonder, oh, how could this happen, Lord? What are we going to do? The ship is being tossed to and fro. We're not sure we're going to make it. Who are you going to trust? Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat! It's so important. Keep the faith. Trust God and rest in him. And you will find he is faithful to his word each and every day.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled Stay in the Boat was presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.